We are privileged to bring to you another series of spiritual conferences given by Father John A. Hardin, S.J., professor at the Jesuit School of Theology in Chicago and at St. John's University in New York. Father Hardin is a well-known retreat master, author, and spiritual director. Each conference in this series is separate in itself, and yet together they form a complete retreat, the overall theme being sacrifice and love. The heart of all spirituality is sacrifice, and a spiritual life not built on sacrifice is building on sand. In the following conference, Father Hardin speaks on the subject, How to Practice Devotion to the Heart of Jesus. Father Hardin.
We address ourselves to the subject of how to practice the devotion to the heart of Jesus. We may begin by quoting from the most extensive and clear expression of the Church's understanding of the devotion to the Sacred Heart, namely Pius XII's encyclical Haureatis Aquas. Says the Holy Father, this devotion is essentially devotion to the love with which God has loved us through Jesus, and is at the same time an enlivening of our love for God and man. Viewed from this standpoint, then, the devotion to the Sacred Heart can be literally superimposed on the whole of our faith, so that nothing within the ambit of the practice of our Catholic religion should really be excluded from this devotion, but always with one important reservation, under the aspect of our returning love for love. The first way in which we can respond in love to God's love for us is unexpectedly in what we call self-interested love for God. This means that we can and should love God because God has loved us, but with a view to the benefits that loving God can give us. Since this, call it hopeful love of God, looks to the future, it can be identified with the second theological virtue of hope, whose basic quality is a confident desire of possessing God and of receiving from His hands in this life all that we need to reach Him in eternity. I think it is well to begin analyzing our devotion in the Sacred Heart devotion with the virtue of hope, because some people may mistakenly suppose that loving God somehow excludes our hoping for the good things that God has in store for us. Not so. The virtue of hope emphatically belongs to the Sacred Heart devotion. nor should any shadow be cast on its practice. Just because when we hope, we seek the things of God indeed, but in the form of self-advantage, and not precisely for the sake of God alone. In practice, the 12 promises of the Sacred Heart are a concrete expression of this phase of the devotion. These promises, which I commend to your rereading and re-reflection, are so many assurances of grace and health from Christ to those who are faithful in giving honor to His heart, ranging, as we know, from a large blessing on all their undertakings, including a safe journey, to the great promise, a final perseverance for those who make the 9 first Fridays in a spirit of reparation to the Savior. This conference, as you will gather, will be an attempt to gather a lot into a short space, or better, short time. That's the first. We practice devotion to the Sacred Heart when we practice the virtue of hope, notably in hoping to obtain the many good things that Christ promised to His faithful servant, now synthesized in what we call the 12 promises. But if hope is the beginning of this devotion, love is its consummation. Hope may be called, as we did call it, self-interested love of God. There is, however, what theologically we call disinterested love of God, which is a strange expression. What it really means is, we love God not because we are self-interested, but because we love God for Himself, looking for no advantage in return. In human relationship, this so-called love of benevolence, that is, not self-interested love, may be one-sided, that is, I may love someone with total selflessness, but, as we sadly know, the person may not requite our love in return. Well, this never happens with God. There can be no question of loving Him without being loved by Him in response. He always loves those who love Him. With Him, therefore, just to memorize the expression, the relationship is always the love of friendship. And this is the heart of the Sacred Heart devotion. What is the love of friendship? It carries with it, as Christ Himself described it at the Last Supper, the twofold mark of mutuality, of affection, that is, each loves the other selflessly, and an effective sharing of what each possesses with the other. True friendship, therefore, is always reciprocal. It is selfless love requited. And it is, secondly, an exchange of gift-giving. In the worship of the Sacred Heart, this mutual communication is meant to affect our whole life, as it is expressed in the morning offering, in which we make an oblation, as we say, of all, with a stress on all, my prayers, works, joys, and sufferings. That word joys, by the way, is a recent innovation, and I am happy to say that I have something to do to getting it into the morning offering. Unfettered love is to animate all of our actions. If not, as would be ideal, at the very moment when we perform them. You know, there are some actions that, given the circumstances in which we perform them, it is not easy to rise to the heights of love when we perform them. Hence the value of the morning offering, in effect saying, Lord, you know me and you probe me. You know before this day is over, I will not always be that highly motivated. Let this offering at the beginning of the day tell you what I really want to put into all my actions. My whole selfless love. The motive behind this selfless love with which we are to strive as far as possible to animate all our actions is what most clearly distinguishes this total selfless charity from all other virtues, and indeed from all other forms, even of love for God. This motive, when our love is, as we say, perfect, is the absolute goodness of God, which means God's goodness in Himself, and not His goodness in what I'm hoping, note the verb, hoping, to get out of it. Now, God is wise. We don't have to read learned theological tracts on the perfect love of God. There are some fine books. Let me recommend just two: St. Bernard and Francis de Sales. But even if you don't read, in order to better theologically understand what selfless love means, meaning what? Meaning that I do something just for God and not at all for myself. Don't worry. God will spare you the need for theological analysis every day and more than once a day, in bidding you in a variety of ways to do things which are obviously His will, and which, as we all so well know, don't please us one bit. It is all that untheologically simple, honest. Our love of God is most selfless when it is, well, most selfless. When the only self involved in performing a given action may be the sheer will, under the impulse of grace, doing what I believe on faith God wants me to do, and the only reason, as more than once I'm sure under our breath we are telling the Lord, "Lord, I hate to do it. I don't want to. I get no pleasure out of it." The only reason, and our lips may tremble when we say it, "Lord, it's only for You." And you grit your teeth or clench your fists, and you do it. My dear friends in Christ, that is selfless love in practice. I could burden you with all kinds of theological reflection, but why bother? That's it. I might add, it took me some 20 years to learn that simple language. So much for our hope and our love, especially this selfless love that is at the center of practicing the devotion to the heart of the Savior. But over the centuries, now especially in modern times, the Church has pointed out and explained in considerable detail that there are other, not distinct, but practices that grow out of our love of God that also are part of this devotion. Thus, consecration to the heart of Christ is part of the devotion to the Sacred Heart. You might ask yourselves, what does consecration add, or how does it modify the acts of loving God, which are the heart of the devotion? I trust I will be clear, because we are all called upon to not merely love God, but really to consecrate ourselves to Him in love. And this, by the way, not only for priests and religious, but all the faithful, so that in propagating this devotion, we should keep in mind that consecration belongs to the devotion. Consecration gives our acts of love two qualities which of themselves they might not have, and they are permanence and stability. According to the teaching of the Church on this subject, and I quote, among the different practices which directly accompany devotion to the Most Sacred Heart, assuredly, the foremost is the act of consecration, by which we offer to the heart of Jesus both ourselves and all that belongs to us, recognizing that all we have comes to us from the infinite charity of God. When we consecrate ourselves personally, we may be said to add the qualities of deliberateness. There is a solemnity, a strong act of the will, which is not just another act of the love of God. There is a specification. I identify what I am consecrating and why. And there is, above all, the highest motivation, which grows out of our sacraments of baptism and confirmation. When then we encourage others to consecrate themselves to the Sacred Heart, we or they make a fully conscious act of the will, from which results a true engagement of honor that may be only vague at the time when it's made, but the more clearly it is explained and the more it is practically lived out, the more its significance will be recognized. One who consecrates himself pledges himself, and thus, in consecration to the heart of Christ, we pledge ourselves to the divine heart to live a life of entire dependence on and trustful self-surrender to the will of the Redeemer. I don't want to let go of this. One thing that religious, or for that matter, priests, are liable to overlook in their dealings with the laity is that the laity too want to do more than just will go on living from day to day. They too want to have the nearest counterpart they can have to the vows that priests and religious assume. Am I getting my point across? They want to have a sense of pledging themselves, of giving themselves to a cause, of assuming a responsibility based on a promise they make, comparable for their state of life to the vow that a religious, say, makes in his or her state of life, or a priest. Consecration is that kind of self-dedication. And of course, if the consecration is not just, well, a verbal expression, though in fervent prayer, but then carries with it certain, even daily responsibilities, that the one who has so consecrated himself is to carry out, then that life of consecration is recognized to be what it's supposed to be, a lifelong of my giving myself in a special way to Christ, loving Him selflessly in return for the selfless way He's been loving me. Beyond hope and the love we have been reflecting on, and the consecration which is a form of dedicated love to the heart of Christ, reparation is so essential to the devotion to the heart of Jesus as from one viewpoint almost to constitute it.
Please turn over to side B and push the play button immediately without rewinding the tape.